If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Ready for today's game with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
A complete look around the NFL and especially our Falcons.
Let's go out there and compete. Let's focus in on what our job is and do our job.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer.
This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick.
Good morning and welcome in. My name is Garrett Chapman, filling in for Sir Andy Bunker. Joe Patrick joining here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show here at Centennial Yards on the bridge here in the what we think is the shadow of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is very foggy. Very foggy.
It is crazy.
Very foggy. Joe Patrick, good morning. How are you, sir?
You know, I feel a little bit, as an Ohio State fan, I feel a little bit like the weather around us, you know. It's a little gloomy. I'm hoping that the Falcons can maybe, you know, open the light of my life inside of my soul and let the sun shine through. But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'm probably, you know, setting myself up for disappointment there. But no, it's good. It's good, Garrett. You know, we're in the middle of football season. This is kind of the moments that we all wait for. You know, it's conference championship games and college football last night. The NFL season's kind of ramping up for the, you know, the playoff run-in, and so it's an exciting time of year.
Absolutely. It's a 4-8 Atlanta Falcons and the 9-3 Seattle Seahawks here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for Week 14 action. We will talk about that game. We will preview that game. We will dig all the way in as much as we can. But I do want to talk about something that was going on last night here at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The Georgia Bulldogs. How about those dogs? 28-7,
impressive.
They beat the Alabama Crimson Tide. Kirby Smart, what, 2-7 now against Alabama? I know you mentioned your Ohio State Buckeyes. Just a crazy night or all day of games.
Yeah. And you had a crazy ACC championship as last night that I know that you know. And it certainly, you know, created for some interesting dynamics that the selection committee will have to decide. Was that show at noon today?
That's going to be coming up at noon. ESPN.
So I want to ask you a question because, honestly, for me, like, I don't understand enough about the new college football rules, and I know that there's a lot of debate about who's going to get in. Can you kind of set the table for, like, what are the decision makers going to be deciding between? Like, which teams are they going to be deciding between and why?
Yeah, so let's start at the top. It's going to be 1, 2, 3, 4. They have the automatic buys. Last year, that was your top four highest-rated conference champions, right?
Okay.
This year, it's just your four highest-rated teams. So I know you're an Ohio State Buckeye, so you guys are fine. You guys are going to be pushing through to that bye week. So I think Indiana's going to be playing in the Rose Bowl, I believe. You guys will be, I don't know, somewhere else. But you're into that second round. As far as the next teams down, it's just, at that point, it's your five highest-rated conference champions. That still is a thing. So with Duke winning last night, it creates an interesting dynamic where James Madison may well be the highest rated conference champion. They might be that fifth team.
And that's over Duke.
Because Duke is not going to be rated higher. Five losses this season. They're 7-5 coming into that game. Oh, my God. I tweeted last night at GChapATL. You can check that out. It's the nightmare scenario for the ACC. What do they do? Yeah. Miami sitting there maybe has a chance. I don't know. Carson Beck and company, that'll be an interesting dynamic there.
The thing, I always expected to see Alabama back in the playoff, like going into the SEC championship game, but then just seeing the way that that game unfolded, seeing the way that Georgia really just kind of manhandled them, honestly, throughout that game, they didn't really, I thought the score even flattered Alabama a little bit, just based on that it was not really indicative of the way that Georgia was physically, you know, again, handling them in that game. And it makes me think, I don't need to see Alabama again. Like, I feel like I know who Alabama is at this point. I don't know if I need to see them again, but we'll see, you know, what the selection committee decides.
I think they ultimately get in. Yeah, and that's where you kind of get into it, because, I mean, Tulane's going to be in. James Madison, I believe, is going to be in. Good day for the Sun Belt Conference. How about that? But as far as those next teams in, then you start like splitting hairs between Notre Dame and Miami, which pretty big hair is the fact that Notre Dame actually lost to Miami for some reason. We have Notre Dame, we're just pretending like that game didn't happen, I think. I don't know. But, I mean, you have a three-loss team with Alabama. They have a chance to be the first ever three-loss team to be in the college football playoff. Does it count when it comes in the SEC championship game against the number three team in America?
Right.
When it happens the way that it did, I think that kind of thought process creeps into the back of your mind. And the conference championship relevancy and whether or not people want to play in it. I mean, you have the SEC going to 9 games next year in conference. That schedule is going to be brutal in the SEC. So I wonder what happens if the SEC gets left out after losing a conference championship game. I think that creates a really difficult spot for Greg Sankey.
Yeah, you know, I can see why the NCAA would want to maintain like a standard of the two teams that are in the SEC championship are just going to be in the playoff. You're not going to like move one out because these championship games now, there's not really a huge gain other than like, you know, the prestige obviously of having won that championship and kind of being able to kind of put that name on the list of the CV of the coach and all that, but ultimately, what are these championship games? Not much. So, like, you don't want to really penalize teams for having played in that game and you know, losing it, especially in the fashion that Alabama did. It'll be interesting to see kind of how this thing all shakes out today.
Yeah. And what was your thought process going into it as an Ohio State fan?
Against Indiana.
In a conference championship game, you guys haven't won one since 2019.
So yeah, I know. And it's like, but again, it's like one of those things where first of all, I didn't even realize that. So
it's been a while.
Yeah, I did. Like, it's interesting, and it's interesting that I didn't even realize that Ohio State has
won a national championship,
the Big Ten championship, because again, they just don't seem that important in today's college football landscape. Again, there's obviously some prestige attached to it, but you know, for the regular fans, like I'd obviously much rather win a national championship than a Big Ten championship, so it didn't really matter that much. But I would say that I was super, super impressed with Indiana, and I have been a big Indiana fan of their program, Kurt Cignetti, what he's done there. By the way, I think that there are some connections with what they were talking about, with what Cignetti has done at Indiana and kind of what this Falcons organization needs.
Ooh,
there was one quote that he had where he said, I had to change the way that people thought about Indiana, and that is something that I think is like relevant for the Falcons, and just in terms of somebody's got to be able to change the culture and the way that people think about what the Falcons organization is. But I was just very impressed with Indiana. Fernando Mendoza, the way he came back from that early hit on the first pass attempt and maintained his accuracy throughout that game was incredibly impressive. And their defensive scheme was spot on to stop Ohio State. I thought that it was more of like the Indiana defensive scheme got the better of Ohio State's offensive scheme, where I really hated a lot of what Ohio State was doing in short yardage. But anyways, yeah, it was an interesting game.
I wonder how much of that game was just kind of keeping things a little vanilla. It felt vanilla at times. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, they wanted to win the game, and then they're going to do what it takes to win the game, and then credit to Indiana. But it's like, I don't know, man. I feel like there's still another gear for Ohio State. And you talk about the best team in the country. Georgia looked like the best team in the country last night. Indiana absolutely can be in that conversation. But Ohio State is still right there. If they played again, I don't know who would win.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm going to sound ridiculous here as an Ohio State fan. But, I mean, I do think that they win that game more times than they lose it. But, you know, that's like sports. There's, like, obviously a certain, you know, odds of an outcome happening that is, you know, going to happen a certain percentage of the time. The other time, you know, the other result's going to happen. I think that, you know, this is probably a matchup where Indiana wins it 40% of the time, something like that, you know. And but, yeah, I mean, I'm still obviously confident in Ohio State. They've got just unbelievable athletes. You know,
they'll
Dane Brugler had them projected have 5 picks taken in the first 20 of this draft. So, still confident in the team. I don't feel as down as I did when they lost to Michigan last year and blew that opportunity. That was when I was at the end of my wits. I did not think that team had a championship run in them, and I was proven wrong. So, hope to see that again this year. But Georgia looks so good, even when they're not playing, even when everything is not clicking for them. Like, I felt like it wasn't yesterday. They still look dominant, and that's credit to Kirby Smart and the way he's kind of set up that program.
I think it sets up for a very interesting playoff. I'm very excited for that one. That's going to be coming out 12 noon, so an hour before you get to flip on the Falcons game or turn on the radio and listen to the radio for this call of this game with Wes Durham, Dave Archer. And it's going to be interesting. We'll see how that goes. But the Wade Ford Tailgate Show is brought to you by Bear and Burton's W Sauce. We can't control the score, but you can still bring home the W. W Sauce is your ticket to next level flavors on game day. Pick up a bottle today and bring home the W. It is a very chilly day here at Centennial Yards. We're out here on the bridge. Make sure to come on over. Check us out. Come on down. Just come on down and say hi. Come on, say hi. We're over here in the what we think is the shadow of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's hard to see through this all this fog, but kind of felt similar to what we saw up in New York at the Meadowlands against the Jets last week, where this Falcons team, they fall on a last-second field goal. One of the many situations where this Falcons team comes up just a little bit short. It's a very difficult test today, but as far as what we saw last week, special teams errors galore. Joe, do you think they learned their lesson? What were your thoughts here, just as what you heard from Marquise Williams throughout the week?
I mean, it's just, you know, it's a shame that it happened. You know, the special teams issues are something that didn't just crop up, obviously, in this Jets game. It's been something that's plagued them throughout the year. And I feel bad for Marquise Williams because I think that in some respects, like, there's only so much he can do, especially as it regard, like, you know, you can't just, okay, special teams is a problem, but, like, if a kicker is missing kicks, that's more of a either front office issue for not being able to, you know, bring in the right kicker. It's not something you really, you know, put on the special teams coach. But obviously one of the shortcomings this team has had in special teams is kick coverage, especially as the NFL has gone to this new kickoff. And it just feels like other teams have adapted to it quicker and are doing it in a more effective way than what the Falcons are doing. And I think that that is where the responsibility does come on Marquise Williams and Raheem Morris and, you know, everybody who takes accountability in that coaching staff. But they can't have that. You know, it's, and we've talked about this. I've talked about it with Andy before, but, you know, and I'm sure we can laugh about it now where we break this team down. Because I know, you know, it's, by the way, it's going to be an interesting show with both of us kind of covering the team on location. So kind of have a different kind of discussion about it today. But, you know, we break this team down 365 days, right? We talk about this Falcons team every single day. We talk about every little aspect of the team, and we don't, except for maybe special teams and like kick coverage, because that's just not something that's like easy to break down or interesting to break down. And ultimately, it can prove the difference in a lot of these games. We saw that last week.
Absolutely, and that's going to be the big difference here. This is a really sound Seattle Seahawks special teams unit. It's going to be very, very tough. It's going to be an interesting test here. But as far as the Falcons and what they have, I mean, injuries have mounted a little bit. You know, Josh Woods, he missed a lot of games. He may be back today. We have D'Angelo Malone's lost for the season. I mean, a lot of these special teams
Drake
guys.
Drake London?
Michael Penix? I'm just talking,
special teams.
The people that
I was like, damn, Josh Woods really getting some.
No. So I'm just talking specifically for people.
Yeah. No, you're right. Those are core special teamers.
Core guys.
But also, Kadarius Hodge was not activated last week. He's a pro. Kadarius Hodge made a Pro Bowl last week, and, you know, Raheem Morris was criticized for it for not activating him for the game for really kind of unclear reasons. Just kind of said he didn't do some things correct the prior week.
Performance based stuff. I don't know. Yeah. That was one, and I think that there are shortcomings elsewhere on the roster that I think you had to accommodate for in that game last week. And, you know, in the absence of Drake London. And again, we're going to dig into a lot more of these injuries and other things and matchups today just as we go through the show. But when we get back, we're going to continue our discussion here of Falcons and Jets. And, you know, let's hear from maybe the head coach.
We'll
see what we can do there. My name is Garrett Chapman. He's Joe Patrick. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show right here on Sports Radio 92.9.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Go Falcons.
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Patrick and the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. My name is Garrett Chapman, filling in for Andy Bunker on a very chilly, foggy day down here at Centennial Yards.
We're bundled up.
Bundled up. I got a heater here next to me, man. I'm ready to go. I got hand warmers. Dude, when I found out that I had some hand warmers, I was like a kid on Christmas. I was so excited. And this is great. And this is really cool. This is my first time over here. I had never been over here, Joe. And this is really cool.
It is cool.
And you can see the potential.
It's going to be cooler, too.
Yeah. Okay, we got a little bar downstairs, a little wild leap.
They're really building this area up. I expect it to be absolutely bouncing by the time the World Cup comes next summer.
My God.
The Centennial Yards area, it's going to be really, really nice.
Because you have that hotel over there. You have a condo
or
something?
That hotel popped up in like a year. Like, ridiculous how quick that thing went up.
I was blown away. Because I think it was a little bit of time between the first time I was over here, end of last year or something like that, end of last season, and then I come back over and I'm covering the first game of the year, but I didn't walk on this side.
Right, right.
And the spot right up there in front of State Farm Arena. And then all of a sudden I come around the corner and I'm like, oh, that's a massive hotel with the big screens and everything. I'm like, what am I in? Times Square?
Yeah.
This is incredible.
I know. That's how it feels sometimes. So, it should be great over here. Centennial Bridge. We're on the Centennial Yards. We are on the Steel Bridge, which is like
the blue
and greenish kind of bridge over across some train tracks and some tailgate areas. So the true MVP tailgaters are out today.
Absolutely.
Like today is where, you know, it's easy to come week one, week two. That's when everybody's coming out. But the true legends of tailgating are coming out. On a day like today where you have about 100 yards of visibility because of the fog, you know, the team is obviously struggling. They need to bounce back today with a tough opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And so our true heroes are out there grilling brats and burgers today.
And I see some people starting to come down. And we got a cool tailgating lot underneath us. I saw a House Divided crew, a Seahawks fan with a Falcons fan. It looked like they were a couple.
Seahawks, like, Falcons.
Seahawks, Falcons. Big bird family there. Yeah. Well, it's going to be an interesting game here. I mean, at the very least, we'll talk matchups and all that, all kind of stuff like that as we go throughout the show. Because we'll be here with you until 11 o'clock when we hand it over to the Falcons pregame show.
What is a Seahawk, by the way?
It's not real.
It's not.
It's not a real bird.
Okay.
It's like a pelican.
I didn't know
or something.
If it was like a play on like a seagull.
It's a seagull, but it's like an aggressive seagull. It's a seagull with claws.
I already find seagulls pretty aggressive, actually.
They're already very aggressive. I mean, they're basically just seagulls. It's the Falcons and seagulls. I mean, Falcons aren't that big.
Yeah, we should just call them the seagulls.
The seagulls for the rest of the show. Maybe that'll make them less intimidating,
the fact that their
offense is scoring 30 points a game and their defense doesn't allow anything. It's going to be interesting.
Special teams in the NFL.
Yeah, actually, they just moved down to number two.
Oh, is that right?
It's very, very tight. I don't know. I don't know how you rank them. There's some metric or something that I saw, it's like a power rating, and it's like they have their own college football playoff committee.
It is worth reflecting on the Seahawks and their turnaround. You know, they were drafting higher than the Falcons were a few years ago.
They were also hiring a head coach at the same time.
That's right, exactly. That's exactly right. They were drafting higher than the Falcons, and then, you're right, they hired Mike McDonald a couple years ago during the same cycle in which the Falcons hired Raheem Morris. And under Mike McDonald's leadership, you've seen a really, really impressive turnaround. They are an absolutely professional unit. Like you said, Garrett, just really don't have an obvious vulnerability when their team is healthy, like they are now, and they're even getting healthier. So a really, really difficult test. And you just got to sometimes tip your hat to some of these organizations that have done really well and turning around the culture of their program.
Absolutely. And look, you do it with Geno Smith. And before that, it was Geno Smith. And now, of course, it's Sam Darnold. And look, McDonald's done a great job. He's just done a really good job. And like you said, it's like you just got to tip your cap. And this is a team who doesn't play down to their competition. They rise to the moment for the most part. And they do really, they play better than what you would assume their parts are. And they have really good parts. Don't get me wrong, that defense especially. JSN on offense, Kenneth Walker. I mean, look, you got a lot of dudes. But it's the fact that McDonald just seems to have them all clicking at the same time, and that's just the sign of a really good head coach. And the fact that, like I mentioned, they don't lower themselves to the competition, but they also win on the road really effectively. McDonald has a chance to tie the Seahawks record, I believe, for road wins as a head coach in your first 2 years.
And this is traditionally the hardest games for these West Coast teams when they have to come to the East Coast and then play specifically in the 1 o'clock window. That is like when the jet lag would affect you the most, with both in terms of just the natural maybe, you know, grogginess you have from that long cross-country flight on top of the time differential going from West Coast to East Coast, for their bodies, this feels like they're playing at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. or whatever it is when you play at 1 o'clock coming from the West Coast.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's actually a really interesting point, because if we're going from the East to West, and I've heard it messes with your body clock and all this other stuff. They're athletes. They're creatures of habit. And I wonder, going West to East, that sounds brutal.
Yeah.
Playing a 9 a.m. game is just...
Yeah, if you look at the... I don't know it off the top of my head, and I don't have my numbers out right now, but if you look, it there's statistical discrepancy with West Coast teams. Again, teams that are in that West Coast time zone coming to the East Coast, specifically playing in the 1 o'clock window. That's when they really struggle with. But, yeah, hey, Seahawks came and beat the Falcons in the 1 o'clock window last year. In fact, that was turned out to be Michael Penix's NFL debut, because they were winning so big the Falcons decided to, give some of the backups some time at the end of that game.
That's a good memory there, man. You just sparked a memory from me. That's... Yeah, that was his debut, wasn't it?
How was that memory that I just sparked for you?
Not great. I mean, I remember sitting on my couch and watching that game and being very upset.
Yeah.
Very upset. And the difference between that year and this year, I do think there are, there are several differences. It's a different football team than the one that's playing this year. They had a different quarterback, different players, whatever. But at the same time, you talk about the way that this Falcons team is going to be able to affect them a little bit differently. It comes down to a pass rush. And this Falcons team, they lead the NFC in sacks. That's not something that I thought I would say.
No, not at all.
You know, but this is also a Seahawks team that's second in the NFC in sacks, so they're going to be able to do that too. But I do want to go back to this conversation, though. We were talking about Mike McDonald. He was hired at the same time as Raheem Morris, and I want to play this cut for you. It's cut 26 here, Noel. On building the trust with fans, he was on with Dukes and Bell. It's been a very difficult 2 years here, and you go back just the last 20 games or so, and the Falcons were 6-3 for the first 9 weeks of the season. Things looked great. You looked like you were finally going to snap that brutal streak of losing seasons and not making the postseason, and then it all came crashing down. Well, this year has been kind of a similar story, but he was on with Dukes and Bell, and he had that conversation about, hey, this is something I'm trying to do to build that trust back up.
You know, I don't think I can say it to the fans. I think you got to show them, right? So I think it's about building the process, right? So what are we doing? We went out and got a young quarterback. A young quarterback got hurt. We got to bring him back. Can't wait for him to get back. We went out and got a bunch of young studs on defense. They're starting to play better. And you just can't build a thing overnight. And we're building it. And it's a process. And you want to see steady improvement. We had a little bit of a drop-off, and now we want to finish this thing the right way and do things the right way and go about our business so we can make sure we can finish it the right way. You never know what's going to happen. But all I know is this, is our job is to win. We're in the business of football, but our job is to win. And we got to go out there and do those things. Like, and we can figure it out. Like, you know, like you saying that doesn't hurt my feelings. You know, like I think we're in the business of entertainment.
We're all penciled in. We got to put up numbers. You got to put up numbers.
That's where it all comes from. I think you can't duck or you can't hide from that either.
Yeah, it's a difficult spot here that Raheem Morris finds himself in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And listen, like, he's right that you always do want to be building, et cetera, et cetera. But I think one of the reasons why he had the opportunity to get this job, the reason this job came open was because this team, the ownership, felt like it was ready to win. And they didn't win under Arthur Smith in his final year, where Arthur Blank came out that training camp saying that they thought that, you know, there was a 3-year plan in place for Smith, and that was the year that they, you know, intended to make the playoffs. And so, you know, for this team to miss out on the playoffs, what looks like it's going to be the third year in a row since they felt like they had a roster that was ready to, the second year under Raheem Morris, just not being able to get that job done. It goes to the other part of what he was saying, which is that this is sports. This is, you know, the business. The job, in his words, is to win. And if you don't do the job, then your time in the post is going to be limited.
Yeah, and that's just the reality of the job. I mean, everybody's hired to be fired, and I'm not going to sit here and advocate for anything like that necessarily. But at the same time, like, you got to win. You got to show results. You got to do something better. You got to get fans excited. You got to show up. Give them a reason to show up and support you. And it is just a difficult spot that the Falcons have found themselves in this season. And I don't know. He mentioned the young quarterback gets hurt and other stuff like that. Oh, we had a young quarterback. That part was a little, I don't want to say irksome necessarily.
That's what I was going to say.
you've got a 13-year veteran under center right now, and you're still really kind of finding a way to struggle on offense. And
exactly.
Yes, you understand.
Exactly.
Drake London's out. Darnell Mooney's not playing to his capabilities. I don't know what in the world is going to spark Darnell Mooney, though. What in the world is going to spark that guy?
I don't know. Maybe a more effective play action game. That was when we saw him catch that deep post against the Saints. That was really nice. It felt like the old shades of Darnell Mooney. Felt like the Darnell Mooney that is going to be most effective for you when he's catching the ball going down, you know, moving downfield towards the end zone. Obviously, in that case, that's a 50-yard bomb that he's catching near the goal line. But ultimately, Darnell Mooney has that really nice kind of open area quickness and speed that where you want him to catch the ball and have an ability to move with it afterwards. But, you know, I think you're right. We're kind of going past what Raheem Morris said there when he's talking about having, you know, the young quarterback injured and all that. The young quarterback was keeping a $40 million salaried quarterback on the sidelines.
Yes.
And so there was a certain expectation of what you were going to get from Michael Penix this year. And I think that, you know, he underdelivered there. I don't want to say that that's like indicative of what his career is going to be like, although there's obviously more questions in it now that he has suffered another significant injury to one of his knees. But, you know, but the reason why this team kept Kirk Cousins throughout this, you know, offseason drama with whether they were going to cut him, trade him, do all these possible moves. Well, the reason was because you wanted to have insurance at that most important position in football. And, you know, there hasn't really been much of an impact, much of a difference in this team offensively when he's been in versus when Penix has played.
And the thing is, I think Kirk actually played pretty well in New York.
I'd say I totally agree.
He had a pretty good game. He was not the offense largely was not necessarily the reason they lost.
Yeah, he scored 24 points.
He scored 24 points in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that should be enough. It's just that
I guess it's a Rod Taylor-led New York Jets offense. You think that should be enough to see you through.
Yeah. 24 points in that, but when you gift-wrap 16 points to your opposition, that's generally not necessarily a recipe for success in the NFL.
Yeah, no, it's not. And that's the kind of thing this Falcons team has to clean up. They're not good enough to play on those tight margins. Like you cannot just give away. This team is not good enough to give away those kinds of points to their opponent and be able to make up for it, where some teams probably can. If you're the Rams, if you have an explosive offense, maybe even the Seahawks, you can make some mistakes and you feel like there's other aspects of your team that can kind of pick you up. That's a kind of a baseball term, but, you know, defense lets you down, offense can pick you up. Just doesn't feel like this Falcons team is playing that cohesively right now. Like, things have to go perfectly well for them to basically win a game, as opposed to the opposite, where one part of the team can struggle, the other can make up the difference. So it'll be a great test for them against a team that can do that today.
Yeah, and my immediate thought was the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, when you're describing that, because you have an offense who doesn't necessarily win the West all the time, and then you have a defense that, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
And the Chiefs too. Like, you know, Patrick Mahomes gets all the headlines, but
that defense
rounding into form over the last several years is really what's made them a much more rock-solid team than they were maybe like in the pre-COVID.
Speaking of those teams, we'll talk about those here when we get over onto the other side. We're going to whip around the NFL. That is what we are going to do on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show here at Centennial Yards. Very foggy day over here outside of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's Falcons and Seahawks. You'll hear it right here on your home of the Falcons on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you, because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Go Falcons!
Back to Andy Bunker and Joe Pat. Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back in. Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Your home of the Atlanta Falcons. We have a full Mercedes-Benz Stadium in view.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's wild.
This fog is lifting like our spirits. We'll see what happens at 1 o'clock, though. Could be an interesting one. I got a text from Dave Ashburn. He gave me an answer on what a Seahawk is. A sea chicken.
A sea chicken.
A sea chicken. I don't know how I feel about
it. Are they that edible?
Can you eat a Seahawk? I know you won't want to eat a falcon. I don't think that tastes very good. It's kind of gamey.
Lean. Yeah.
Very lean. Seahawk, though, I don't know. Sea chicken. Yeah,
it's an aggressive bird.
That's a pretty aggressive bird. It's a seagull with teeth. That's what it is.
It's a nervous bird, as Jim Harbaugh would say.
A nervous bird.
Chicken's a nervous bird.
He doesn't eat chicken. Oh, my God. That's a funny one. All right, let's whip around the NFL. We got a lot of games that have we have one game that's already unfolded, but we have some interesting ones today. Really interesting ones.
It's a pretty interesting slate.
Lions and Cowboys. That one was on Thursday. 44-30 was the final. I know Jahmyr Gibbs went off. He's on my fantasy team, and he's done me very well. But George Pickens is kind of having a hissy fit. CeeDee Lamb gets hurt. Those are two teams that felt like it was a bit of a playoff eliminator.
Yeah.
But how about those Lions? I mean, you talk about you lose Ben Johnson to the Chicago Bears, and there is seemingly no drop-off on that offense. 44 points.
Yeah, the Lions are another great kind of, you know, we were talking earlier about the Falcons hired Mike McDonald at the same time as the Falcons hired Raheem Morris, but the Lions are a team that hired Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot at the same time when the Falcons hire the Lions hired Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, their head coach, at the same time the Falcons hired Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith. So they've also kind of had a similar trajectory, or not a similar, two different trajectories, but that both happened at the same time and are just evidence of what it takes to kind of turn around a culture. Because that Lions team, I know it's easy for people, maybe newer, younger fans of the NFL to forget, but the Lions were known for losing, dysfunction.
Oh, yeah.
Just maybe the worst organization in the NFL in terms of their playoff successes or lack thereof. I think they hadn't won a playoff game since like the 1950s.
It was bad.
Before recently. So really impressive what they've been able to do. And you're right, that was kind of a gut check for them coming off a tough Thanksgiving Day loss.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you got to go through with what the Lions have been. I mean, you talk about a dysfunctional franchise. That was a team who debatably had the best running back of all time and not the best wide receiver, but maybe the most physically gifted wide receiver of all time in Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders. They still couldn't do anything.
And Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford. I mean, a guy who's now a Super Bowl champion, front runner running the MVP this year. I mean, my God. You had a lot of things going your way, and you just couldn't figure it out.
And interestingly, success started when they made that really difficult decision to trade Matthew Stafford away for Jared Goff, getting first-round picks, and were able to build themselves up from that point. And kind of, you know, reclaim Jared Goff's career a little bit. Obviously, he had success with the Rams, but you know that deal was obviously meant to improve the quarterback position in L.A., and it really improved the quarterback position maybe for both organizations, even though you know Matthew Stafford was still obviously very good with the Lions. Jared Goff has brought them whatever they needed at the quarterback position. That's what Jared Goff has brought them, just in terms of that leadership that he brings and also just the accuracy, and he's a good quarterback in his own right, so credit to them. One of the games I'm looking forward to watching today, Garrett, is the Steelers versus the Ravens.
That's a great one.
2-6-16. A classic AFC North battle.
Oh, yeah.
I think I saw there was on Twitter that this will be the 39th meeting between Mike Tomlin and Harbaugh there in Baltimore.
Oh, man.
And, you know, just like kind of two titans of the game really going at it. But that division is really up for grabs. You know, those two teams are kind of co-leading the division at 6-6. But then you've also got, you know, if we want to go to another game, you know, the Bengals versus the Bills, a great quarterback matchup with Josh Allen against Joe Burrow there. But the Bengals are 4-8, but they're still in contention because one of the fact that their division leader is at 6-6, but also they don't have like the key kind of tie-breaking losses that the Falcons have.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you saw the Ravens last week, and they looked like not the Ravens. That offense looked dreadful. Lamar Jackson looked almost like a liability in that game. And, I mean, that just wasn't the team that I think a lot of people have come to expect when you watch a team like that or John Harbaugh team. But it's the Steelers. It's the Ravens. That's going to be a great game. It's always a great game. I know you can say that, oh, throw the records out, whatever, but because they're always generally a really good record. You know, it's the Steelers and the Ravens.
And both teams are, kind of to your point about Lamar Jackson, like both teams are sputtering a little bit offensively with their quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers is kind of having a difficult moment, maybe some discord behind the scenes with some of the ways that he's trying to manage the offense from the line of scrimmage and kind of, you know, like these kind of quarterbacks, but I think Aaron Rodgers kind of epitomizes like the quarterback who thinks he can do it all. Kind of whether that's he actually can is debatable, you know, from all these different types of players. But you know, when they try to do too much, maybe it puts their teams and their coordinators kind of at odds with each other. Arthur Smith, obviously, there, the offensive coordinator with the Steelers, and seems like a recurring pattern for the Steelers as well this year, where they get off to a decent start, things seem pretty good, and then they're really kind of losing steam as the year unfolds, and kind of results in another disappointing year for them, to the point where people are wondering if Mike Tomlin's even going to be back next year.
And that's one of those interesting spots. I don't know. I mean, with the Steelers and Tomlin and everything else, would you ever fire a guy like that? I understand you get to the spot where, I don't know, you expect that you need to go out and get a win in the postseason, and not, just making it is not enough. Like, the fact that the Falcons have a more recent postseason win than the Steelers do is one of the weirder stats.
That is.
Because the Falcons haven't been there in 7 years, and they go seemingly every year. It's just, they're a first-round exit, and I understand that can get frustrating, but that floor is just so high in Pittsburgh.
It's one of the great questions in the NFL is, like, when, at what point do you decide to make that move to move on from your coach? And obviously the Pittsburgh Steelers have become known for not making that move. And you know, they have the fewest head coaches in NFL history as an organization. How many have they had? Three or four?
It's three.
Something like that? It's crazy.
Knoll. And I mean, look,
Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher's there. That's it. Those are your coaches.
Yeah. So they've been known. They're not going to have that quick finger to fire the coach. But, you know, the headlines and what the reporters around the NFL are looking at right now with them is whether this 1 year extension on Mike Tomlin's contract is going to be triggered. I believe March 1st it will be the deadline for that. So they're not going to fire him, but they could make it so that he may step away if they make it kind of clear that the future, like there's not going to be a future for him there.
That seems what. And that's the thing. Based off of the way the Steelers started the season, if they don't make the postseason, which they don't, I don't know if they feel like a postseason team, just based off of what I've seen from them this season, the defense is, you know, it's aging, it's regressing, it's just, they haven't really stocked very well.
Yeah.
And they go out and make a wide receiver addition with Adam Thielen. I mean, I don't know how much he's actually going to add to that room. He's just going to be on the practice squad or something like that. They're just sort of in a spot where they're spinning wheels a bit right now. And I wonder at the end of the season, if you do miss the postseason or heaven forbid for Steelers fans, that you don't get to that winning record and you finally snap that incredible streak of consecutive seasons without a losing record. The fact that Mike Tomlin's been around the longest tenured head coach and he doesn't have a losing season is nuts. But if that falters this year, you don't make the postseason, I wonder if, I don't know, maybe your best days are behind you.
Even if they do make the postseason, I think the problem for the fans there in Pittsburgh is they just don't feel like there's any, like, okay, is that a reward in and of itself, just making the postseason and then getting, you know, blown out, or at least, you know, losing in not very competitive fashion when you get in the wild card round?
That actually ushers in an interesting thought here that I just had, that when you said that, is there really a dominant team right now in the NFL? Because it always felt like the Steelers would run up against, I mean, they get the Ravens or something when they're streaking and playing really good ball, or they'd play the Chiefs or something in a game that I don't think anybody really expected them to win. I don't think there is that team this year. I mean, the Patriots are 11-2, but are they really that team?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think part of it is, you know, how people individually would define dominant, but
sure.
I think the Seahawks are like as close to the top of the NFL as the Patriots or maybe the Rams. My point is, like, you could take any number of these teams who have two or three losses in the NFL right now and say, like, you wouldn't really pick one over the other necessarily. The Eagles don't look like that dominant team that they've been in the past. That could turn around. But the Chiefs also obviously don't look like that team. Like these teams that are typically driven by this high-level quarterback play, you talked about Lamar Jackson earlier, those teams overall just cohesively don't look like the quality of team that we've seen in the past. And maybe it does create an opportunity for some of these upstart teams like the Patriots, like the Seahawks, to go in there and change the conversation of the NFL landscape a little bit.
Don't forget the Broncos. Broncos sitting there at 10-2.
Oh, yeah, that's a great call. Yeah, I mean, another one of those teams.
But you talk about quarterback play, and I mean, Bo Nix is good. He's a good, steady quarterback, right? I guess right now one of the many young quarterbacks in the NFL.
Another quarterback we kind of correlate to the Falcons, where it's like, you know, same draft as Michael Penix.
Yeah.
He was in a good situation with a good, you know, head coach that knew how to use him or had an idea of how he wanted to use him. Head coach as the offensive play caller has been really well. Sorry to cut you off there.
No. I mean, look, that's a team who's driven on defense. I mean, look, they can get after the quarterback. At one point, they looked like they were going to go for the sack record.
Which this Falcons team is doing, too. Like, you know, it's like this Falcons team kind of has those building blocks of what could be a really, you know, dominant team, but they just need some other really key pieces filled.
Well, and that's where, coming back to the Falcons, I mean, that's been the most frustrating thing for me over this stretch, because you've lost six of your last seven games. That's reality. That's where the Falcons are right now. It's unfortunate, to say the very least. But you go back through this, and I mean, and look, I understand you are what your record says you are. It's the Parcells said it. Everybody says it. It's the most common phrase uttered on this station and everywhere else. But you go back to that 49ers game, the one that kicked off this nasty streak of games. You have a fourth down conversion away from potentially going and winning that game. You have the Dolphins game, which, let's throw that game out. That was unbelievably bad. We have Kirk Cousins dropped in on the last day. Drake London's knocked out at the last moment. But the Patriots game, you miss an extra point. The Colts game, you go into overtime. You're probably the better team in that game, I would say. I would make that argument. The Falcons and Panthers, that's a game where you were the better team, but you let them back in and they beat you in overtime. You look great against the Saints. You dominated that game. And then the Jets, you were the better team. You were the better team, but you let them back in. It's 16 free points. That's the difference in the game. All of that comes because of special teams blunders. But the thing is, you flip half of those results, we're talking about a different Falcons team.
Yeah, and it's infuriating to see this. When you open up the NFL standings to see, like, the Falcons record and where the top of the division is, and the fact that the Falcons left these games on the table that were very winnable, and where they would be in this division had they taken advantage of some of those opportunities against teams like the Dolphins, like the games that you were mentioning.
Yeah, and that's just sort of the frustrating spot that the Falcons find themselves in. But let's keep going around the NFL. We got a lot of other games. You mentioned one that I was very interested in, the Bills and the Bengals. You talk about that game being Joe Burrow finally making his return, and he looks pretty darn good. He looks pretty darn good. That guy did certainly forget how to play quarterback. I know that's a phrase that we've heard a time or two. But any other games that really pique your interest? Maybe Bucks and Saints? Kind of keeping an idea on that one. I don't know. That's maybe not the most exciting game necessarily. But
it would be nice if the Saints could. I mean, the Falcons, frankly, need the some of their, you know, division foes to drop some games here.
Yeah, and we could talk about, I mean, maybe chances at a postseason bird? No, not this year.
Around the NFL is brought to you by Hatfield, by the way. Better pork, head simply to hatfield.com.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. I was actually looking on my computer trying to get back to it. Appreciate that one. Another interesting one here, Bears and Packers. Bears and Packers today, 4:25.
Great.
That's going to be awesome.
Great game. Real litmus test, I think, for the Bears to kind of see where they are as a program. I think Ben Johnson's done a fantastic job there. And he's transformed Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is a quarterback who never really played under center in college, playing at USC out of a shotgun system. But he comes in to a Ben Johnson offense. Obviously, what Ben Johnson did with the Lions, we know, that kind of power run game. He's really just changed the dynamic and taken, I think, some of the pressure off of Caleb Williams to be this, like, quarterback who has to be the man for us and drive our entire offense. Everybody contributes on that team, and it's brought them to a really nice record and a chance to make the playoffs.
You talk about a team who, you look at what they were last year when they were just giving up sack after sack after sack. Some of those were his fault, and some of them, I mean, look, it's just the situation and everything else. But you get a competent play caller that is beyond that. I mean, he is elite, like top-of-the-line play caller in the NFL, and it changes everything. Everything is different when you have a guy like that. And then you have a quarterback who's, I mean, number one overall pick. He really buys into the system. You got some great weapons on the outside. That's a team who I think not enough people are talking about. I don't necessarily see them as a Super Bowl contender necessarily, but they might make a run and do some stuff because they're winning the games they play.
You got to walk before you can run, and they're building the program the right way. By the way, I see the freeze right over there.
The freeze?
In the racetrack tent. The freeze is freezing here in this weather.
That poor guy's wearing some tights. I'm cold, and I'm wearing a double-layered jacket.
I know, and we have a heater, too.
This is crazy. And I don't know how he's doing that. But, hey, kudos to that guy. Hopefully he's not drinking one of those slushies, too. Our friends over there at Racetrack, yeah. But we are here at Centennial Yards. It's Falcons and Seahawks. We will continue to discuss that game. Plus, we got more. Yeah, Hatfield Pork is, well, Around the NFL is brought to you by Hatfield Better Pork. Head to simplyhatfield.com to learn more. Stay tuned. We got a little bit more here on the other side. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.